Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I am joined in the studio with Last Word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Jamie Brand and Jason McGovern. For the next 2 hours, it is the Spurs Fans Takeover. We will be discussing everything where your team are concerned. And as always, because you are part of this show, tweet us, join in tonight, tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. We're going to be talking all of the fallout from last night's disappointing result up at Old Trafford in Jose's return against his former team, not getting the points there. His first loss for Spurs as he started. Maybe the new manager bounce is over, but what did you make of it? Have your say. We're going to be talking all of that and looking against the weekend's game against Burnley. Ricky, we have to start at the top as we always do. Man United 2-1. I've got to admit, Jamie said it outside. He went, he was full of confidence ahead of this game. I was full of confidence. It's a poor United side this season, but it just wasn't to be.
It's probably the worst thing you can be as a Tottenham fan is confident going into a game and being labelled as favourites going to Old Trafford. I think the overwhelming feeling is probably just such a bitterly disappointing display. And, you know, we won't face too many worse Manchester United teams than that, too many worse Manchester United managers. And that's what makes, I think, the result even more infuriating, because we just simply did not turn up. And we know if Tottenham did turn up, we would have got the result. And I just can't quite put my finger on why we didn't put on a display.
Yeah, not the display that, well, any Spurs fan would have wanted, Jamie. Obviously, it doesn't help when you concede very early at once kickoff has happened, and then very early again in the second half. Very unlike a Jose side at the minute. We know that Jose, we don't want Jose, he's a defensive coach and you've got him. But what is happening at the minute, a bit weird that two goals conceded every game Jose's took charge of.
Well, unfortunately, you know, it's a different manager, but the same problems. I think there's clear issues in defence still, clear issues in midfield. But for me, I thought it was a really poor performance, and I'd actually go as far as saying it was one of our worst of the season. I know people will point out Brighton was probably worse for me. But if you look at games like Bayern, Everton, even the Liverpool when we lost 2-1 at Anfield, there were points in that game where we looked like we competed. Last night, there was nothing from Spurs. It was really disappointing. I think the only moment Spurs had was the Dele Alli moment, and it was obviously out of absolutely nowhere. A brilliant moment from Dele Alli, and for me, he was kind of the only one that turned up last night.
Well, Jace, Jamie says it was the worst performance of the season. Is that something that you agree with?
Well, I think that Brighton one, for me, it was the worst one, but there's no doubt it was a mess from start to finish. You know, had that been under Pochettino, we'd have been called tactically clueless, poor in-game management. But I'm not blaming the manager. Just, you know, people will think I'm going to jump on Mourinho's back. I think, again, you saw all the flaws in this Tottenham squad, and the only good thing is that he can see just what a massive job he's got in his hands, and that gap that had become 6 points to the top four. Forget the top four. This is an absolute mess of a club at the moment. It really is.
See, that's what I'm worried about. That, I mean, the hysterical reaction, because I look at it now and I think even in those 3 wins we've had, we've seen the issues we've got defensively. He knows that, and we can't simply just try and outscore teams. And I go to Jay's point where he says, you know, for him it's the worst performance of the season. For me, I think the second half against Bayern Munich was much worse. Colchester, Brighton, it definitely wasn't good enough, but I think at the moment he's 12 days into his reign at the club, 13 days in, he's had what, 7 or 8 training sessions.
Hold on, we kept a clean sheet at Colchester.
Let's be serious. You know, with 7 or 8 training sessions in, it's very hard to ask the man to completely, you know, change the club over. And how can he try and have an impact on players making individual errors? Gazzaniga for the first goal. You can't get beaten at your near post. Sergio Aurier leaving his man, leaving Davinson Sanchez twice to win the ball. He can't do anything about that. And again, in the second half, Sissoko, what is he thinking? What is he thinking? Going to ground, challenging the guy in the box. He's going absolutely nowhere. And this is what really frustrates me. And it's back to that same old thing we said about Tottenham and this particular squad, that there are too many individual errors being made for us to ever try and get over the line with this particular group of players. And that's why, for me, he needs to break it up. We've talked about a rebuild. That rebuild still needs to happen. And do you know what I like about this manager, Jose Mourinho, is that he won't take any crap. He will get rid of the players that he feels are going to stop him from achieving success at the football club. He won't stand for it.
He's really done that with Danny Rose, hasn't he? I mean, obviously, Danny Rose had, I think it was, who's in the first game? Who did we play first game under Mourinho?
West Ham.
West Ham, that's the one. I think
Davis played there.
Sorry, Olympiacos. Sorry, that apologies. So, yeah, look, he had one really poor performance and he was immediately dropped. So I think that's something that's refreshing under Pochettino, as Ricky said. I think, under Jose Mourinho.
And easily done, mate.
Exactly.
Easily done.
So it's something that Pochettino maybe wouldn't have done, and that hopefully we'll see other players drop.
But he's
that.
Going to drop all 11 on Saturday.
Well, yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, you could quite easily do that after that performance, though.
What has been? Obviously, I get the reaction of you three. The last word on Spurs. What has been the general reaction? Because it seemed after, obviously, you tweeted out after the game, quite a lot of. I was surprised that maybe the reaction to the defeat. I know Jamie mentioned it was a poor performance, maybe one of the worst. But you know, people were mentioning the manager. But I thought, is this a little bit over the reaction? Because last week it was, we have got this spring in our step and we got a bit of momentum back.
He's been there for what, exactly. Less than 2 or 3 weeks. He's got 3 wins out of 3 up until the Man United game. I think it's frustrating because going into that game, when you saw that Man United team, the manager they've got in charge, Spurs should be going there looking to get all the 3 points. I think the most disappointing factor of it all is that we just simply didn't turn up. Outfought, second to every ball, lost all the 50-50 duels. And the problem is, you look at that Tottenham team that we've got on paper, it's good enough to go there and get a result. But when you defend, like we defend, you aren't going to win anything.
It's very so difficult. When you defend like you did last night, you're not going to win anything. We know of the two goals every game Jose's took charge so far. Jace, you mentioned how big a job this is, how much he has to do. Jamie's mentioned it, you know, the painful rebuild, Tottenham 2.0. Does this only highlight for you just how many problems there still are?
Yeah, I think there. I mean, if I looked at it, you need a new goalkeeper, you need a new right back, a left back, 2 new centre-halves, a holding midfield player and a central midfield player. There's 7 positions. Tongi Ndombele hopefully becomes the central midfield player, but he's not done it yet. And he doesn't look anywhere near doing it for 90 minutes, 6 games in a row, does he? So we can all allow him time to adapt to the Premier League and things, and we know he's going to improve. So that's perhaps one of the positions you don't. But at the moment, he's hardly banging on the door demanding a first-team place, because when he does play, he plays in fits and starts. Yeah. But the other positions, you know, Serge Aurier, we've given this new role to play as a right-back 80 yards from our own goal, which leaves you so lopsided. And yesterday, Sissoko's having to fill in for him at right back too often. That leaves Winks completely on his own in midfield against 3. So it's not surprising Winks struggles. Then you're not holding the ball, so it's going from back to front. It was just a mess. And I've always said it, it doesn't matter what tactically you do, if you've got players making such basic errors, there's no plan can cover that up. And, you know, that first goal summed it up. Sanchez won the ball twice. But Sanchez was having to win it in the right-back position, not as a centre-half. So he's got dragged out of position, wins it twice. The ball's loose. Why is there no white shirt to pick that loose ball up? Twice. So Gazzaniga's mistake, shouldn't even be having a shot to save at that stage. But then he makes a mistake. You just can't. It's a snowball effect. One mistake leads to another, and we're getting woefully exposed.
So Jamie obviously mentioned the positions there, and it highlights still how much work there is to be done. Jamie, you've always said that, you know, this Tottenham 2.0, and I do bring that up a lot because I genuinely believe that the point you made there. But there may be Spurs fans, you know, and we all get carried away, we all do, we all get excited, but maybe think that Jose was just going to, you know, come along and those problems weren't there anymore, you know, almost paper over those cracks.
Yeah, look, are we always going to get that manager, that new manager lift? And I think to a degree we've certainly had that. He's definitely shown signs of changing, doing it differently to Pochettino in terms of making substitutions early on. But one thing that we are really crying out for is a fresh start. I think Jason said it before, when players like Christian Eriksen, I know last week a few people said that we should get him signed up to a new contract, but I think it's just about, we should be, this is a chance for Lo Celso to come into the team and Ndombele. And I think that even for me, players like Alderweireld or Jan Vertonghen, and you know, their contract situations are going to be obviously up in the summer. I just want to see. I want to see a fresh start. I want to see new players coming into the team, and maybe this is one thing that does annoy me. We're not seeing Lo Celso, and he's prefer it, and he's bringing on Christian Eriksen instead, and that's something that does confuse me.
I don't disappoint you though on that, Chaz, to Jay, but if you're giving Eriksen 25 minutes, and you're giving Lo Celso only 5 minutes, I think that pretty much sums up where Mourinho sees Lo Celso's future at Tottenham at the moment. And I know we're only 4 games in. you can't get too carried away. But you would wonder that, you know, Eriksen's a player that has already publicly stated, I want to leave the football club. And reportedly, again, he's done that behind closed doors. He's told Mourinho, look, you know, I'll give you my 100% whilst I'm here. And yet Mourinho is still preferring him over Giovanni Lo Celso, a player that wants to be at the football club, has committed to wanting to join us long term, and he can't get more than 5 or 6 minutes. That's a really worrying predicament.
I think the one thing I'd say about the new signings is always takes a while for new players to come into the Premier League. I think we saw it. I think an example I'll give was Fabinho last season. He was a good player last season, but this year he's absolutely outstanding. Sadio Mane, I think, in his
Kovacic is another one, isn't it?
Well, there you go. And I think that Sadio Mane was a good example. I think he was a good player in his first few years at Liverpool. Now he's absolutely outstanding. And I think with Ndombele and Lo Celso, it's about giving them time, letting them to settle in. So maybe that's a reason why we haven't seen so much of them.
Gwendouzi's not improved, though, has he?
No, he certainly hasn't. I can't argue with that.
But there is an argument. Players do come over. They do take this time, a period of, you know, transition and adapting to the league for a number of reasons. There's new things they have to get used to. But obviously, Lo Celso at the minute, clearly not getting game time. Eriksen is. Mourinho clearly prefers Eriksen. Could we maybe get to a place where Lo Celso is only currently on loan, where he maybe not be made permanent, Ricky?
Of course, yeah, of course, isn't it?
Because this was Poch's man, you know. But we heard that Spurs desperately wanted him, didn't they?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all whatsoever if there does seem to be an agreement where he goes back to that club. I mean, I'm not sure if they can do that in January. I know Spurs have got the option to maybe buy him for cheaper in January. I'm not too sure because they've agreed. I think Jason said they've paid, is it 14 million they've paid for this?
14 million.
They've paid 14 million for the guy already, so I don't know if they can just ship him back there.
That's a loan fee.
That's a loan fee. The answer to that question, I don't know. What, again, makes me very clear for me last night is that, you know, Solskjaer, for as much as he's been disappointed at Man United, he has got results in the big games. He beat Chelsea 4-0. You look at it in a way and you think, did we set up right? And I look at that midfield, and for me at the moment, the Sissoko and Winks partnership, it's never really worked. It just hasn't. And, you know, that long term needs to be looked at. For me, Tonga Ndombele is the man to come into that central midfield. It's maybe about finding a partner for him. But just so frustrated by, you know, Sissoko last night to give away that penalty. The guy's going absolutely nowhere. Why stick a foot out? It's basic defending. Why give the referee a decision to make at Old Trafford? VAR ain't going to overturn that. It's not.
But if one partnership is not going to... I don't think any one partnership will work when one of them is constantly having to cover at right back. So you perhaps have to go 4-3-3 to make up for that and make sure that you don't get left with one player in midfield. I don't think it matters whether it's Winks and Ndombele, Dier, Sissoko. Could play Foyth in there, you can play anyone, but when you're on your own against two or three in there, you're always going to get overrun.
Well, Jason, that's interesting because you have had a tweet in this time from Martin Dolan. It says, we can't play a front three and Dele behind Kane. We need a three in midfield with Son, Kane, Dele further forward, a defensive midfielder with two of Ndombele, Sissoko, Lo Celso ahead of them, because Serge is a real problem as Sissoko literally spends the whole game covering him and leaves that position open.
Well, what I've just said, isn't it? And I think Ndombele, the problem is, whilst we all want Ndombele, we know he doesn't look anywhere near fit enough.
He doesn't have the legs for 90 minutes.
Is that worrying that we're in December and we aren't seeing fitness strides from him yet?
And, you know, like I say, there's been glimpses of Ndombele where we know what he can be. And he has looked good in
But it's been spells, hasn't it?
But it's tiny spells. And actually, you know, whether it's Pochettino, whether it's Mourinho, whoever is alongside, we expected a bit more than what we're getting from him. Let's be fair, he's had 6 months to sort his fitness out. He's not fit. That's down to him. He's got to carry the can for that. And he's got to raise his own levels up to be able to play for 90 minutes, four or five games in a row, not for 25, 30 minutes once every 3 weeks.
Jamie, you disagree with that?
No, I don't. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I think that it would really help him if he had someone in there alongside him. I really think it's going to be important to have a holding midfielder in there alongside him, because Tongi Ndombele is a guy that gets forward. I think his attack, I think we saw against Red Star at home, he was getting forward so much and he just looks so creative, passing balls through the lines. He needs somewhere in there who can sit and do all the, you know, the defensive work and allow him to go forward and express himself. I think that's what he's really good at. And for me, I think that he's not performing. One of the reasons he's not performing at the moment because he hasn't found the right partner at the moment.
Yes, an interesting one. We're still going to be talking all about Man United. Dele's comments after the game and taking your listener questions.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs. Well, we're just beginning to have the first word on Spurs in the game last night. Ricky Sachs, Jamie Brand and Jason McGovern. Still time for you to have your say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, weirdly, whenever I speak to Jamie Brand or I'm in Jamie Brand's company, a Premier League manager gets sacked because Marco Silva has just been dismissed as Everton manager. I know this is the Spurs show, but it is breaking news into us very, very quickly on it. Jamie, what do you make of that? No surprise,
well,
really?
Well, there you go. And I think if, for one, yeah, well, certainly not surprised, but if you look at the people that he's lined up to replace him, you know, and the people, and we've just brought in Jose Mourinho. For me, Spurs and Everton are kind of similar sized clubs, and the fact that we've managed to attract a manager like Jose Mourinho, I think that says a lot about us and kind of the state of the club. I know a lot of people have been complaining about where the club is at. Maybe Daniel Levy's ambitions, but for me, you look at maybe they're probably going to get in someone like David Moyes. We've just got Jose Mourinho, so for me, I think it says a lot about where Spurs are at.
Look at Jason's face. He can't wait to answer.
As I just said to you, the telling thing for me is it was a Merseyside derby last night and Liverpool treated it like a Carling Cup tie.
Completely.
It completely squad rotated. And you think, well, no Salah, no Firmino, left players off, and we're still four up at half time. And you know, could you imagine Tottenham
in a Premier
Arsenal
League game when they're going for the title?
Exactly.
It's incredible.
And just think, oh, we can squad rotate for that game. Summed Everton up.
I mean, Jason's saying it, you know, the Spurs perspective, but that really was the last straw for the Everton board, you would have to think, Rick.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think about what Jason's there, you know, for Tottenham to have attracted a manager or head coach in the calibre of Jose Mourinho, I'm thankful we've got the man at the club. I just want to see a bit more of a positive reaction on Twitter. Some of the reaction over one defeat, I just find it staggering. You know, this is the man we need to get behind now. He's had three great wins to start us off. He's got a new manager bounce. It's not going to be easy. I mean, you look at defence, it's certainly not going to be a quick fix. We all know that. You know, there's definitely problems there. And he can't wave a magic wand and make it all better. He's going to need to get some of these players out because I don't know how many times we've sat here, Chaz, over the last year or so, and we've spoke about games where it's individual errors costing us week after week after week, especially in the big games as well, not just the smaller games. And you can't expect, you know, a new head coach to come in and try and eradicate those out of some players' games. And unfortunately, it's always going to be there. So you have to try and move these players on. And what I know about Mourinho is that he's ruthless. You've seen it with Danny Rose. You just won't play him.
So what's changed in football now then, Ricky? Because you said some of the reaction last night, I saw it. I was a little bit taken aback myself. But this isn't just Spurs. This is every football team now. Why does this happen now, Jason? When you do lose two or three, it's like, get someone out, we'll get someone new in. Where have we got to this?
It just is. I mean, the reaction was one way last night, but then the reaction of people going completely mad and, you know, there you go, this is the style of football it's going to be because we've beaten Bournemouth 3-2 at home. You know, it's... We weren't as good as beating Bournemouth 3-2, and we're not as bad as tied as losing to Man United. It's in between. And sadly, I think this season, I think we got what? Now, how many games we got left now? 24 games left. Yeah. We'll probably win 10, we'll lose 7 and draw the rest. I think that's what it's going to be for the rest of the season, and you'll have that constant.
I don't know about that, Jason. I still think we've got the capability.
I still think we've got more than capability to go on a run.
Why I say that is because I think the top four. 9 points behind Chelsea, 15
I don't think there
Leicester.
Is a top four at the minute. No. I think there's a top two and then there's a next drop down at the minute.
What I think you'll see is as the season goes on and that gap, I don't think it will close that much. We might get to within 6 points, then we'll lose one. And then suddenly those Champions League knockout games will come, which took the priority as they did last year. We'll go for an FA Cup, which will take the priority instead of rotating in the FA Cup, and the Premier League games will become less and less important to us as the season goes on. That's what I mean. We're capable of winning more, but the harsh reality means we won't.
I thought that one of the reasons we've kind of reacted like that was to get into the top four. Do you know what I think? I thought that we've got rid of Mauricio because results in the league weren't good enough, and Jose Mourinho is a guy that knows how to grind out results, knows how to win. And I think that the Premier League will be certainly prioritised over the FA Cup. And I think that that's one of the reasons that maybe we haven't gone for FA Cups in the past is because we don't really have the squad. I think even you said before with teams like Manchester City and Chelsea, they're always just going to hoover those cups up because they've got the squad. Even Liverpool now, I mean...
Do you think Spurs will prioritise the FA Cup, did you say?
No, I don't think they will. I think Spurs are going to massively prioritise the FA Cup.
I'm going to agree with Jay here. I think he's been brought in to not win the FA Cup this season, to go make sure the club get top four. They need it for the stadium. And I think we've already played a lot of the top eight away. Therefore, you know, we've still got them all at home. We've still got to play Chelsea. I think there's still more than enough games to make that top four. Listen, last week we're sitting here with half the gap from 12 points to 6. We're all getting carried away thinking we can make the top four. Suddenly one defeat and we're all thinking it's over again. I think there's such a long way to go. There's so many twists and turns. We're in December. We're in a massive Christmas period to come now where games come thick and fast. I think there's still more than enough time to get into that top four. I genuinely believe there is with this head coach.
But you have hired Jose Mourinho, a serial winner. This man loves every cup competition. He doesn't not prioritise the cups. If it was the League Cup, he would be going absolutely tooth and nail to win that. You're telling me that Jose's just come in and gone, we've got to get this top four. It will be the strongest team in the FA Cup.
Might be, but
Garrett,
I still think...
It's Gillingham.
Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough, excuse me.
I still think the remit set to him by Daniel Levy is that the club need to get top four, regardless of his cup record. His remit will be, we need to get top four. They haven't just sacked Maurizio Pochettino because he's not going to go and prioritise the FA Cup. They've sacked Maurizio Pochettino because the club need to get top four
for that stadium, completely different.
To attract the players. They have to get top four.
That's as may be, and I'm not disagreeing with that. May well have been his remit. But if you look at it, we're 9 points behind it.
Right? Well, we've seen how quick they can get shortened down, though, Jace.
Well, it got cut to six. But to cut it down, Rick, you've got to go and win 6 of the next 8 games or win 9 of the next 10 games. Because those clubs above won't... Leicester are now 15 points clear. If they lost 5 in a row and we won 5 in a row, we're still not in front of them.
I'm looking more at Chelsea. I think Chelsea is still catchable.
Lee McQueen said Leicester definitely guaranteed not finishing in the top four.
And so, let's be fair, if the gap was 9 points by the end of January, at which stage do you think, and it's FA Cup round 4 day, at which stage do you think, and we've got Champions League that first week in February as a knockout round, do you think we've got Wolves at home so we better win this game? Or do you think, actually, we've got Juventus away on Wednesday night? What is the point of winning this game?
I still don't think he'll give up on that top four until it's mathematically impossible. I don't think he's coming now thinking, right, I've got to win the FA Cup.
I think he's doing both.
Champions League. Yeah, he's doing both. But there'll definitely be that remit from the board that we have to try and get top four. We have to. That'll be the main priority. I don't think he'll throw the cups. I think you'll still get some strong lineups like you say, Chaz. But I still think he'll look at it. And with the home games to come, with the players that he might look at in January, I'm not saying he can revolutionise and change the whole squad. Mm. Tottenham have to be looking to finish in the top four. They have to be. We're sitting here a couple of weeks ago saying how important it is for Harry Kane to play Champions League, Dele Alli to play Champions League, Heung-min Son to play Champions League. They have to try and get in the top four.
And with the new stadium as well. Well, exactly. You don't want to have...
No, I think he's going to be fighting for that, absolutely. But I think he's going to do both just as much. I don't think there's a one and a two. I think it's 1A, 1B here.
I really do think he's capable of getting both. I don't think it's just, you know, we'll choose one or the other. I do think he can get top four and win the FA Cup. But for me, it doesn't benefit the club. It's just something that Daniel Levy can say, I won the FA Cup when I was at Tottenham. The club want to get Champions League football. That's the most important thing for next year. And then next year, they can then start trying to win those trophies. Because if you don't have Champions League, you're not going to be able to attract the best players. You're not going to have as much money to spend in the transfer window. And then we're not going to have as good a chance to go for maybe the title next year or try and win the FA Cup next season or whatever.
Isn't that a battle, though, that Chris, who comes on the show all the time, Chris Cowling, last one, I suppose, he says, you know, if you're just constantly just becoming that club, we're just trying to go for top four, it is about trophies as well, isn't it?
Of course, but I think if you ask Chris now, he would sit here and say that the club needs to have top four. They haven't, as I keep saying, they haven't sacked Maurizio Pochettino to then win an FA Cup. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
If you ask Chris if he wants fourth and no trophy or fifth in the FA Cup this year, I bet I know Chris's answer.
Listen, if you're saying fourth and no trophy, the club need to have the Champions League, don't they? They have to. Why have they just sacked Maurizio Pochettino?
I want the Champions League. What I'm saying is, Rick, it's not that I don't think we're capable of doing it, but as the season goes on, unless Chelsea and Leicester collapse... It doesn't matter what we do.
I'm not looking at Chelsea. I think Chelsea can collapse. 9 points clear.
So
we've just seen Chelsea lose at home to West Ham.
Well, you've seen Tottenham drop stupid points. But, I mean, that Chelsea game on the... When's that? December the 18th, is it? 22nd.
That's
an absolute must-win game.
Of course. Yeah, we know that. Yeah.
Let's say Chelsea came to White Hart Lane and won that game.
It's going to be very difficult, isn't it?
So then do you think you can get in the top four? So you're going into January and February thinking, as much as I try and get this... the reality comes in. And so they'll change their priorities somewhere else. And we saw Tottenham do it last year, where the Champions League became the priority, to stay in it over league points. That's all I mean.
I still think at the moment it's still all to play for. I think with the new manager bounce, I still think a lot of players like Heung-min Son, he looks reinvigorated. He said it's an honour to play for Mourinho. I think you will still get players that will be attracted to the club in January because of the manager that we've got in charge or the head coach we've got in charge. Yeah, it's a lot to make up points-wise, but I'm still confident we can do it.
Yeah, I am too. It's going to be an interesting one. It was a really passionate debate. Have your say tonight. Call us 0208 7020 558.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs. Ricky Sacks, Jamie Brand and Jason McGovern. We were just having a fiery debate about Jose Mourinho's remit for the job. Top four, win the FA Cup. Where will his priorities? Can't even get my words out because I'm so confused where they are. We have had some tweets in, though. This time from Matt Gibbons. It says, top four, laughing faces. Lads, come on. We have to score two goals at the minute just to get a draw.
I don't know. I think it's. I
just one free on the bounce.
Yeah, and I think the other thing I wanted to say is I really think that we're being overly negative about this Manchester United. I know they're poor at the moment.
Yeah, you were the one that said it was the worst performance of the season.
No, all right, okay. No, yeah, all right. It was a poor performance.
I saw your player ratings.
Yeah, okay. It was no.
You
no,
started
no,
this.
No, I know.
I have been positive. Kicked it off. I've been positive.
No, I know.
I saw your hashtags get him out. You should be embarrassed.
No. I. But
Daily Hotspur.
Old Trafford's always I think it's always a difficult place to go. We saw they beat beat Chelsea at the start of the year.
Well, hang on, Jamie's coming back. Yeah.
Drew with Liverpool last year. I think it's a difficult place to go. Yes, it was an awful, awful performance, but I think United were so up for it last night. But yeah. Next question.
No, he's fuming. I can't wait for the opposition for you when me and Jason take over. Let's quickly get some of your listener questions because you're a big part of Last Word on Spurs. We always appreciate you getting in touch. This one from Lewis Riley. Individual mistakes week in, week out. It has already cost us one brilliant manager. When are the board going to wake up and realise that this squad needs a rebuild? It just feels like Jose has been brought in to get the best out of him in the short term and we are papering over the cracks.
We can't buy them now, Kelly. We're not in January yet.
No, I mean, that's the first stage.
We can't buy them now.
Can't do much until January, but maybe, you know, I don't ever want to see Tottenham lose a game, but maybe it is good if we do lose a few because then Jose can go in January and say, look, I might be in theory the best manager in the world and you've brought me in to do this and that, but this squad needs completely renovating.
Yeah.
Massive renovating. And so, you know, each kind of defeat won't hurt me too much in the Premier League because I think, like I say, I don't think we can get the top four. And so whether you're fifth or 15th in that respect, as long as you don't go down. So every time we get a defeat reinforces Mourinho's hand to go in there and say, Daniel, cough up.
Well, absolutely. We have had a call into the studio, this time from Shubin. Shubin, thank you for joining us tonight and giving us some of your time. What did you make of the game last night?
It seems a bit unusual for Jose to be so attacking away from home. You know, you normally expect Jose to be going to United, being a bit more pragmatic, and he wasn't. I don't know whether he's trying to be a bit too, because he's doing a lot of like, ball boys and being all nice and genial. I think Jose has to be Jose sometimes, you know, grind out a boring win, because they do sometimes count.
I think one thing at the moment is, do we actually have the players to be able to grind out the win? I think that was something Jason said outside. At the moment, we've got to try and play to our strengths. And I think at the moment, do we have the defensive players? Do we have the players to be able to go and park the bus or you know, not park the bus? I hope we don't ever do that, but or produce a more defensive display. At the moment, I do question whether we do have the players in our squad to be able to do that.
The only thing I was a bit curious is just Lucas because he's not a person that's going to be tracking back. We know Sergio's going to get forward. That's why, because on Saturday, like, Sissoko was doing quite good covering for Serge going forward. But I don't know why, like, literally, because Lucas wasn't doing that. And then Serge had to basically go help Serge. Sissoko had to go help Serge out. And then Winks was just isolated. And we made, well, I think Fred had a compilation clip, apparently, about the game last night. We made him look like a world beater. Yeah. So clearly, Jose's done for Fred what he couldn't do at Spurs, what he couldn't do for him at United.
Yes, an interesting one, Shubin. We really appreciate your call into us tonight on The Last Word on Spurs, the Spurs fan show. So many of you getting in touch by calling in or through Twitter. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Let's get to some more of those listener questions. This one comes from Gage Cooper. Simply, how did we make United look so good last night? We made Ole Gunnar Solskjaer look like a genius when he simply is not, and that is because we were so bad.
Spot on. 100%, yep. Every word is so true there. We made United look like world beaters. We did. But McTominay, God, he looked like, you know, Ballon d'Or winner when he was playing. And that, again, is down to our own performance. There's no dressing it up. We weren't good enough at all from minute one. You know, we were out-fought, out-battled. You know, we lost every 50-50 duel. I think Mourinho would have been really disappointed because he hasn't sent those players out there to go and perform like that. He really hasn't. We saw it under Pochettino as well, that some of these players are just incapable of doing the basic things. And, you know, Jason said this many times, that with this group of players, there are too many errors in their game to ever get over the line, no matter who the manager is. It could be anyone in the world, but when these players have got fundamentals getting them so wrong week in, week out, you're not going to win anything with this team. And the great thing I know about this head coach is that he will not continue picking them.
Next question from Darren, saying, is this what we've become? Why so much hysteria around this single loss? It's exactly the result and performance that this we've seen from this season. We started both halves badly. Gazza's first howler, peak Sanchez, weeks MF axis, and yet they still only won by a marginal pen. Jose will sort it. Hashtag come on, you Spurs.
I think the reaction isn't just because it's one game. It is tagged into all the number of poor performances. And like I say, I don't blame Mourinho for it last night. Like, I don't think Pochettino was totally to blame for it before. Those players aren't capable, and we're seeing mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And if you keep doing it, the same thing's going to happen. So, you know, there'll be more defeats around the corner for sure.
All right, next question from Steve. Jamie, you can take this one. Does anyone else think Winks is overrated? Look, I can't fault him for his effort, but effort alone is not good enough if you want to be an elite player in a top four team. He doesn't offer much defensively or offensively. He just runs around a lot.
Yeah, look, I'm a really big fan of Winks. And
does he get it?
Oh, Jamie, don't start. Jay, don't start.
No, as I said, I'm a really big fan of Harry Winks. I think that he is a really gifted football player. The one thing I just worry about is, where does he fit into this Tottenham team? As I've said, I think that Tongyi Ndombele is the future of Tottenham Hotspur. Obviously, 22 years old, which I think that does make him younger than Winks, which is quite incredible to think. But as I said, I worry to where does he fit into the team? I think that Ndombele is going to be the guy that will be playing that number eight role. But yeah, with Winks, yeah, it's difficult to know where he's going to fit in long term.
What do you think on Winks then?
Overall, I like Winks, but Winks is not good enough to play as one against three in midfield. But then no player at Tottenham's good enough to play one against three in midfield.
I'm not sure. I mean, I've always been a massive fan of Winksy. I love his passion for the game. I love that he's one of our own. I just don't know over time whether he'll be a Mourinho player. I really don't know that. I think he may look to upgrade on him. And that's no disrespect to him, because I think he's going to be a great player. I think wherever he goes, I think he's a great, maybe top six player. I'm not sure if he's got the ability to go and be a player of a team that could go and win, you know, a Premier League or a Champions League. And that's no disrespect to him, because I think he's been great during his time at Tottenham. He's an academy boy. I would never want to, you know, drive a player out who's got talent. But I just don't know if I see him under Mourinho long term.
This next one's interesting. I think it's definitely going to start a bit of a debate. From SlickDog80, we appreciate that, SlickDog. Is anyone else starting to question Kane's leadership ability? Since Hugo's injury, I've not really seen any difference in the team. I've certainly not seen Harry Kane rallying the troops, demanding more from his teammates, getting in everyone's ear. Yes, world-class striker, not sure about his captaincy.
Well, he scored the goal against Olympiakos that brought us back to 2-2 at the time. I mean, I'll give him that. But apart from that, really, if I'm being honest, of you, the Brighton display, when we, you know, went a goal down, that's where you want Harry Kane to be, you know, rallying all the troops, get them going. We never end up doing that. We lost that game 3-0 last night. Again, you want him as a leader to try and push the team on. I think Dele Alli carried all those 10 other players, if I'm being honest with you, with his goal and the way he played. It does worry me. And I think when many question in the past, why is Hugo Lloris the captain of Tottenham and not an outfield player, maybe you're just seeing why. Maybe we haven't got many of those actual proper leaders on the field, despite all the experience, the likes of Alderweireld, Jan Vertonghen. Maybe they're just, we haven't really got anyone that can get on that pitch and really kind of, you know, roll them up.
Jason?
I think, well, I said that about a month, 5 weeks ago after that Brighton. I said I want to see a lot more from Kane as a captain on the pitch. Mm. Off the pitch, he obviously has a big influence, and I think he's got the total respect of everyone off the pitch. But on the pitch, yeah, without a doubt, he's got to do more as a captain.
I'm not quite sure if these players are able to. You're able to motivate some of these players. I think there are a lot of people in this team that just are kind of not fully committed to Spurs. I think one thing that as I wanted to say earlier is that I think Spurs do need to wake up and realise that yes, we've got a lot of talented players, but I think mentally a lot of them maybe need to change it up. And as I said, I think with Harry Kane, he faces a very difficult task because he's got a lot of players in that squad. I feel that you can't motivate. So
yeah,
I think that the overall problem is that this side has lost too many games. And now a loss doesn't hurt because they've got used to it. So they just think, oh, well, we've lost by one at Old Trafford. It's 2-1. It's just, you know,
I don't think if they're relentless, get away with that for much longer, we've done the journey.
But unfortunately, he's got to change the players because it's now in those players.
And he's been here. That's a massive problem. And he's had 2 weeks to try and solve that. It's just not realistic to expect that. I think that, in a way, I was behind the appointment of Mourinho because I feel it's exactly what the club need. It's that winning mentality to get us over the line. And I don't know, it's just... Yeah.
Well, one player that you have been able to motivate, or Jose's been able to motivate, excuse me, is Dele, and he's been absolutely brilliant since Jose took over. I think we need to shine a light on him next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs. We are not having the last word yet. There is still loads to come, which means still time for you to get your tweets in. Tweet at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Joined by Ricky Sachs, Jamie Brand and Jason McGovern. I think we've covered the game quite a lot, and you know, we've talked about the negatives to fall out. I think it's only fair we talk about Dele because he has been absolutely, not just in this game with a great goal against United, but since Jose took over, apparently, you know, he said on the first day of training, who's been playing, because it's clearly not you, it must have been a relative. Well, Dele hasn't looked back since, has he, Ricky?
No, he's been brilliant. He really, really has been, and I think he's one of the players that has been really reinvigorated by the change in manager. He has put him right, you know, just right behind Harry Kane in that number 10 role, and he's flourishing. He really, really is. I mean, that's a quality goal, and Dele, that's what I mean, when his confidence is up, you see that ability, what he's got. I mean, it's, for me, it's one of the goals of the season to take it out of the air like he did and finish like that. And if VAR would have ruled that out, I think, God, that would have been so cruel. Fantastic goal from Dele Alli. Great player. Great player.
Great goal. Absolutely. It was a brilliant goal the way he brought it down and in the finish. I mean, two United players on him still managing to finish. Jamie, why the difference then in Dele Alli the last 3-4 weeks?
Well, I think he's had a really difficult year in terms of, obviously, he picked up that injury at Fulham and with the hamstring issue. So that took a long time for him to get back. I heard it was a very, very bad injury. And, you know, those hamstring injuries take a long time to recover from. I think I've said before, it kind of felt as though this season he needed like that big moment of confidence. And I think it was when Pochettino was in charge. And it wasn't a moment during a game that produced this getting his confidence back. I think it was Mourinho. And I think that has been a big lift. And when Dele Alli has confidence, he can just express himself. And he's absolutely incredible player. And his goal was just obviously absolute class. To take it down like that and bring it into the position to be able to go and score was, just shows you what a great player is. And I think also to produce a moment like that out of nothing is why Dele Alli is such a good player. And why,
similar to the one in the West Ham where he kept the ball in play for the goals. That was almost out of nothing,
but
wasn't it?
But that's a sign of a really class player. And that's why maybe when he's not been playing so well, I think we've seen in the past, he's never dropped because managers know that he can do something out of nothing.
Well, Jose loves that midfield player, doesn't he? The one who leads the team, the linchpin of the side. Could we see it that maybe Jose builds around Dele Alli, Jace?
Well, it was a fantastic goal. That was the thing, wasn't it? I loved the sight of those two Man United players kind of
running past him
as if they was in the 100-metre sprint and he just stayed in his blocks and went the other way. Fantastic. But I think we'd started to see him come back, in fairness. Watford, when he got forward, scored. Everton, when he got forward and scored. So the signs were there. And he gave that interview, didn't he, after the Everton game where he was very level-headed and started to say, look, you know, I am getting back to my own thing. I think, yes, he's playing further forward, but let's not forget, you know, part of him, for 3.5 years, he played in that position for Tottenham. So it's not like Poch never played him there. But then last season you had Winks injured, you had Sissoko injured, Dembele got sold in December, Wanyama disappeared, Dier disappeared. So it was a case of, he's a midfield player, we're going to have to plug him into a gap because we were so decimated in midfield at times. Yeah. And then, you know, people say he's playing closer to Kane, but then Kane wasn't playing for a lot of the second half of last. He got two injuries, didn't he? Missed games in January, missed games at the end of the season. So, you know, I think that he's far better for Spurs when he plays right up that top position in the pitch. And at the moment, he's able to do it because there are players. But then look how weak we are in midfield. So another manager might come in and say, look, you're going to have to start dropping deep to help this lot.
I look at it and I think Dele must be thinking to himself, when Mourinho managed Lampard, Lampard was already on his way to being a top-class player, but he just gave him that bit of guidance to take him to that next level. And I'm sure Dele looks at Mourinho and knows that he's got the ability to even captivate and, you know, really push his game on even further. And I say to a lot of these, I look at these players now and they look at Mourinho and his track record of what he's won, how he's won it, the players that he's managed. I think they all look up to him. Son had been speaking today about, you know, it's an honour to play for him. I think all these players genuinely believe that they can win trophies under him. But the great thing about Mourinho is that I do back him to, going back on the point, that he will get rid of the players that will stop him from achieving success at the football club. I genuinely do believe that. I don't think he will allow any of these players to derail what he has planned for the future.
I think also when you use the comparison on Frank Lampard, there's a stat. Dele Alli has reached 47 Premier League goals in 140 fewer games than Frank Lampard. So I think it does show you that Dele, and I'm sure he took him on at a younger age, Jose Mourinho. I think when he took on Lampard, he was 26 or something.
Yep.
He's getting Dele Alli at 23. So I'm really excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's a good comparison you make. We spoke about Dele a little bit, I know we touched upon him earlier, Eriksen. I want to talk about that a little bit further, because Jose seems to have, no, I don't want to say taken a shine to him, but it's a player that he is using, you know, he's bringing on. And you're saying that if he's already apparently told Jose and his team, look, you know, my mind's already made up, my heart's set at the end of the season or January, I want to go somewhere else. Do you think that, because Jose is still using him, that we may see Eriksen stay, because he's still being at team, he's still being at Lamp, he's being selected over other players?
No, I think from some of the credible sources we've heard, I think Eriksen's mind is made up. I think he wants to go. I think Mourinho trusts him enough that he can call upon him to bring him on to see if he can make a difference. But I don't think you're going to see Christian Eriksen start many games for Tottenham. I think, like I say, Man United away is a big, big game. And if Eriksen was, you know, part of or pivotal to his plans, he would start that game. He's not even starting that game. When you look at Tottenham down the years, Eriksen was always part of Tottenham's big games. He wasn't part of last night. I think he's probably had that chat with Eriksen, and Eriksen's probably given him the commitment that, look, if you call upon me, I'll give him 100%. He's not committed to the football club long term, but he'll give it his all. And it goes back to that point with Chelsea, that it's just really worrying that you're giving a player that wants to be at the football club 5 minutes. You're giving Eriksen 25. I mean, I know someone had a go at me on Twitter saying, oh, but, you know, you were praising the substitution against Olympiacos when we were 2-0 down. And I acknowledge that. But the only point was that he changed the game. It could have been anyone that he could have used to change it. But it's that he had the actual bottle to bring someone on that has openly admitted he wanted to leave the football club. Spurs still wouldn't have got the result. I just fear for Lo Celso long term that at the moment, I know we're only 4 games. I'd love to see him start at the weekend. That's a great thing. I would love to see Lo Celso play against Burnley and be given the chance from the start to see what he can do. But I don't know, it's just really worrying for him at the moment.
Well, on the contract rebels then, Jace, you know, maybe Eriksen won't be one that his mind will change and he will stay, but can we see maybe some of the other ones who have wanted out or haven't signed a new deal that actually now want to buy into this Jose project and maybe will stay around?
I get the feeling Jan, if they gave him the right contract, would stay. I'm not honestly not sure about the others. Honestly not sure.
Would you want them to, you personally?
No. No, okay. And actually now it's not so much about them as a players. We need to rebuild.
Yes.
We desperately, desperately need to do something. And for me, it's just, look, just start rebuilding, because I'm sick of the sight of some of them. And it's not, like I say, it's not they're bad players, but they're tired. They've got used to losing. It needs a freshen, so freshen it.
Well, I'm not sure, but I think possibly Jamie might agree with you.
Yeah, no, 100% I agree with him. I think that, as I've said, I think I said a while ago, it just feels like so many of them have been here for so long, and it does now need a refresh. And that's why I'm more than happy to let all three of them go with the contract rebels. I think that Toby Alderweireld might stay, because I do think that Jose Mourinho is a fan of him. And whether he can kind of get Toby back to his best. But with Jan Vertonghen, I'm not really convinced that they'll offer him a new contract. I think, what's he, 32, 33? I don't see them offering him a contract, and maybe not one that he'll want anyway. And with Eriksen, I think that he is off. It's strange on Eriksen. I think that clearly Mourinho trusts him. So I think a lot of people criticise Eriksen because of like his commitment levels or his desire on the pitch. And I think that's maybe harsh because there's no way Mourinho would be playing him if Christian Eriksen wasn't working hard in training, wasn't giving it all on the pitch. And I think that shows that the fact he's using him, that he does trust him. But I think Jason's right. I think that it is time to rebuild because there's a clear mentality issue in the club.
I think, again, it's just maybe it's not... try and overreact to that result against Manchester United, because a lot of the problems that we've seen in that game is what we already really know. We know the defence is poor, we know players want to leave, and it's now what Jose is having the chance to see as well in person, being at the club. And I think Jason made the point that we did mention it'll be interesting to see what his reaction is going to be after a defeat. And I think after the game he spoke ever so well. I think when he said about the slow start, he acknowledged that. Everything he said in his interview after the game was absolutely spot on. And that's the reaction that we were hoping to see. Because I think a lot of us were concerned that what we've seen so far from Jose is just this kind of humble person, but under the surface, that character is still there. But I do like what I'm hearing from at the moment. Some of these players need an arm around them. Others, we need that ruthless streak. I think the problem with a lot of these guys is for 5.5 years under Maurizio, he brought these players on so much, but he turned out to be more of a friend in the end than a coach. And that's why I think with some of the players, these individual errors, they stave in their game. We couldn't eradicate them. With Mourinho, they won't be given the chance to turn it around anymore. They've had that time. It's like, as Jason said, it's time to move some of these players on and bring in better players. My only concern is when, Jace, you rattled it off earlier, the list of what we need, that was 7 or 8 players. I just don't see where we've got the money for 7 or 8 players.
It's a really interesting one because Tottenham are in the midst of a rebuild. We're going to be speaking about the rebuild in the next hour, but there are huge problems they need to solve, huge holes on the roster that they need to solve. But you can have your say and what you think should happen. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sacks, Jamie Brand and Jason McGovern. We were talking all from the Man United game, the fallout from the disappointing 2-1 result up at Old Trafford on Jose's return. We'll be looking at the Burnley game a little bit later, previewing that, and of course doing opposition view, which is always a fun one. But we have mentioned in the first hour the rebuild. Jason mentioned the positions that Spurs need, how much of a big rebuild job that is. When you heard that, Ricky, you was a little bit surprised. You was taken aback at just how much Spurs needed. But it sounds like, and Jamie, and I always go back to Jamie, this won't happen in one window, will it? And it certainly won't happen in this winter one, the January one.
No, I mean, again, 7 or 8 players. I mean, we're not just going to turn over that many in January, no matter what happens. I mean, his comments after the game I thought was interesting. He said he needs real time in the weeks and months ahead to inject some intensity into the players as well as fix their concentration issues. My concern is that I don't think you can fix some of these guys' concentration issues. I think once it's gone, it's gone. Yeah. And I think he's losing a battle with the likes of Danny Rose, Sergio Aurier, Gazzaniga, Sissoko. I mean, it's just, you're talking about basic errors that we've seen week after week from a lot of the same players. And to be fair, what we'll say on Aurier is that since Mourinho's came in, I saw a real kind of positive, you know, step over the last 2 or 3 weeks. But the problem is in him, he's always got that lack of judgment, poor decision making. And I just don't know if you can kind of get out of a player long term. Why are you laughing? That's going to come in. Someone's coming in.
Someone's coming. Go on, Jace.
Well, that's why I can't see us getting a top four place and going on a run of 10 wins in 12, because those mistakes will happen. And as you said, it sounds, when he says, I'm going to need a long time to get that intensity back, even he sounds like he's starting to think, do you know what, we ain't going to win 7 of the next 9 games or whatever you need to do. So can I just say, Charlie,
yes,
has there been a Bush Tucker trial in here? This has got to be the most filthy studio we've ever been in. I mean,
we're setting it up.
I won't say what we think is going on underneath the table, all those tissues. It's some kind of episode of a...
West Ham fans live in a better environment than this. That's how bad it is.
Well, you say that, but the problem is...
It's like malaria tablets coming in here or something.
The problem was, West Ham were in here on a Tuesday, and then this is how they leave it for you boys on a Thursday.
Disgusting.
Disgusting, isn't it? Super cool West Ham.
This is what happens when you're in the Champions League. You have to come in on Thursday night, so this is what you're subjected to.
This is it. It's
either this or Europa. I'm not too sure I'm considering at the moment.
This is a bad Europa League trip. Completely forgetting my thread of thought. Let's go back to the rebuild, Jamie. If we can get through the mess here in the studio, let's talk about
literally
the rebuild needs a cleaner. I tell you.
Jamie, help me. Back me up. I know I never back you up on opposition view, but tell me about, because you've always mentioned the rebuild. Yeah. Even when it was Maurizio, you said how bad it was.
Yeah, look, and I think one thing we need for this rebuild, and one thing that maybe when I had the arguments with Chris Cowling about what's more important, winning a trophy or the top four, I always said the top four, because as it's always been clear, even now under Mourinho, we need to rebuild, and to rebuild properly, with proper money to be able to attract players to the club, we need Champions League football. And that's why, for me, you know, whatever you say about the winning the FA Cup and or going on a good run in the Champions League, the priority has to be on finishing in the top four. I think that's why it's so important, and that's why I want to see us prioritise that.
Well, is there a little bit of a worry, Jace? Because I know I won't say you was against the Jose appointment, but you know, before he was announced or when we spoke about who could come in, you wasn't, you know, definitely not flying the flag for Mourinho. Now he's there, but is there a worry that because it is such a big rebuild job, he's not normally known for rebuilding squads? You know, normally only not teams for very long, you know, short-term goals, and he might be at Spurs for only a short amount of time. Is he the man that can do a rebuild?
Well, he's gone into sides more established than us, put it that way, in the past. Maybe that's part of it, because if you're not going to have Champions League football, what is going to attract people to this club? Maybe Mourinho is a person that people will think, yeah, okay, they're not in the Champions League this year, but I can see where they're trying to go. So, I don't know. I mean, I was definitely against him in the appointment. Everyone knows that. But I said he's got a free pass to the end of the season, haven't I? I've said that. I think it's just really hard for him to get a tune, and until he can make the changes, it's going to be really difficult.
Can I just say something on that point you made there, Chaz, about him taking over teams at a certain level? Porto, Inter Milan, when he took over those clubs, they weren't flying high. They weren't really, you know.
Yeah, then he doesn't rebuild well after that.
But okay,
when has he done that?
Have we seen him being given the opportunity to? Have we seen him being given the chance to? Even Man United, when he took over that Man United team needed a lot of work. I know he spent a huge amount of money.
Needs a lot of work.
Yeah, still needs a lot of money. But can I be honest with you, whoever Tottenham would have hired after Maurizio Pochettino, they would have to spend a lot of money to get Tottenham back up to a standard of top four. Doesn't matter who it was. You could get the best coach in the world. I think we have got one of the best coaches in the world anyway, but you could pick Harry Houdini to come and try and sort this mess out. Without spending money, you ain't going to sort the mess out at Tottenham. So it doesn't matter who you're going to bring in. But the fact of the matter is, with Mourinho, you've got a proven winner, and his appointment for me keeps the players like Kane, Son, Ali for at least one more year to say, look, we've got a man in charge now. Look at his track record. Look what he's won. Look where he's been. That gives some of those players the reassurance that this man can deliver, but it's still going to take a huge amount of money. We're not getting away from that. That Man United game did not cover up any cracks for me that you saw in the Olympiacos, the West Ham game, at the Bournemouth win. We can't defend. Doesn't matter who you play.
With that track record and that he can deliver is exactly why I think he'll go for the FA Cup.
And the problem with the players he's got to replace and the money available, if you don't get Champions League football, is that the players he's got to replace, they're not going to bring much money in. So most of them are going to be leaving on free transfers. And, you know, how much realistically are you going to get for a player like Aurier?
But then you must think, Jason, in a way that he would not have taken this job on if he wouldn't have had the reassurance that money was going to be there for him, whether it's in January or the summer. Must have been, because why would you otherwise take over an ageing squad that needs, as you've said, six or seven players? He just wouldn't do it. Why would he do it to himself? He's coming back to Tottenham, I think, to prove a point. He's coming to a club that, for me, is a sleeping giant. He wants to try and prove that he can actually take a club that isn't already established, but he can take them there.
Yeah.
I genuinely do believe that, because there would have been an easier way to wait for another job to come up.
It's a comatose giant at the moment, mate.
Jamie.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure. We'll see whether he's capable of rebuilding a team, but I think one thing that he does bring in terms of change to the club is the winning mentality, and I've said it before, I think that's exactly what Spurs need. With Maurizio, there was times where we didn't quite get over the line, maybe even the Champions League final. Did we have the right attitude going into that game? With Mourinho, that will now change. There will now be a winning mentality at the club, and hopefully whoever follows him, hopefully he'll set them up to have changed that, the the mentality of the club.
I think that winning mentality will only come when he's changed those players. Those players don't have it.
No, to be fair, I don't disagree with that at all. But I don't know. It's yeah.
I think again, his appointment is just also. I agree on the players. That's one thing, but it's also in big games. And listen, United's a big game. He didn't win that last night. It's his big first challenge. I understand that. But I think you're right, Jason. Until he gets his players in there, then you can't really judge him. But I do think over time, when the man is given the tools that he wants, I think in big games he does tend to get results. He knows how to set teams up. He knows how to get over the line. You know, we've got. We couldn't have hired a more successful head coach, manager, whatever you want to call him. Look at that CV. You don't just become a bad coach overnight. The guy's got endless trophies. I mean, I think for me, it's a really still positive appointment. I think you saw that with the three wins. He's got the respect of that dressing room. And I think at the moment, it'll work what he's got until January. But I think January is still a very difficult window to try and replenish the squad, because everybody knows you're on the lookout for bargains. Tottenham, typically, they want to pay the smallest fee, but they want to sell for the highest price. So January is not going to be an easy window at all for the football club. It really isn't, to try and either bring players in or move players out.
Well, we've had a question. You mentioned the big game management there. This question comes from Hotspur Hotspot, not Daily Hotspur like we have in the studio. This is more Weekly Hotspur. I don't think anybody knew where they were playing last night. Positional play was awful. Really disappointed in Jose's management as well. No decisive subs. Sissoko needed to come off straight away in the second half. To be honest, I'm not even sure why he started in Ndombele.
Well, I think we said it's that players were sometimes caught out of position because they were having to cover for others. I think Jason said it was Moussa Sissoko at times was having to cover Serge Aurier, leaving Winks all by himself. So you know, it just comes down to a fact, the matter of I can't even get my words up, but it's because the players. The players in that team, they're not right. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the midfield then, because I think it's been a big debate, hasn't it, on the show today. We're talking about Winks, we're talking about Sissoko, and you know the fitness of your star man, you know, the one you paid all the money for, your record signing. What is going wrong in that midfield battle at the minute, Henrik?
Well, we don't know our best centre midfield pairing. That's the key thing at the moment.
Yeah. Do you think Jose doesn't as well? When you say
no,
we, you
doesn't.
Mean
he's only been in the job 3 weeks, 8 training sessions. He doesn't know yet. He doesn't. He's still getting to know the players. From an outsider, you could do as much punch as you want, but it's not the same as working with these players day in, day out, and it's going to take time. I think the problem he's got at the moment is that he looks at that team at the moment. It's fragmented. Whatever way you look at it, you know, you haven't really got a harmonious camp there, because several players want to go still. And I think it's going to be very difficult until January to really try and address the issues Spurs have. He's battling to that point.
I think with the options as well, we saw against Bournemouth, and Ndombele and Dier didn't work. We changed it up, brought in two new players. They didn't work. Nope. So it's very difficult for him. He didn't really seem to have the options at the moment.
Jace?
That's what I said, isn't it? None of them particularly were. I think if I look at a stereotypical Mourinho side, Dier and Ndombele, if they were both good enough, would be the pairing that he'd like.
Yes, yeah.
Dier to be the 3 years ago, or that type of player, like he's always had, and Ndombele being the Moussa Dembele type role.
But
neither of those is anywhere near good enough at the moment in those roles.
But one way they do get better is by game time, and we just have to stick with them. And although it's difficult at the moment, hopefully by playing together and getting game time, they'll get used to each other and form a partnership, so we'll have to see.
Because he did use Dier at the start, didn't he? So he's obviously a player that he wants to use. Yeah.
What was the fold.
What
was the Olympiacos pairing? That was Ndombele, Dier.
Dier played every game apart from the game last night.
Right, yeah. Well,
that was Winks and Dier, wasn't
Winks
it?
Winks and Dier.
Dier definitely played. 100
yeah,
Dier played.
Because he brought up,
I mean, that's why I was surprised.
You follow Spurs, yeah?
No, but this is why I was really surprised that Dier didn't play against Manchester United, because he's kept him consistent.
Why wasn't he in the side?
I don't know. I thought it was a dead cert to start.
Look, I think with Dier, he's another player that's really struggled across the whole year. He's obviously come out of absolutely nowhere. I think he's struggled with illness, really bad illness across the year.
Is he struggling with confidence a little bit as well, Jamie?
Well, there's that, because if you're not playing then and you're not quite as fit, you're not as sharp, then there's going to be a lack of confidence. I think it was the same with Dele Alli. I think that because he hadn't had a consistent run of games, and he came back into the side and he's not quite as fit as he once was, it's going to take time. And once you're back up to speed, then you can kind of have those moments that allow you to have that confidence and get it back.
Absolutely. What do you make of the midfield? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio and have your say tonight on the show. 0208 7020 558.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs. Ricky Sacks, Jamie Brandt and Jason McGovern talking everything where Spurs are concerned. We're going to be looking at that game with Burnley in a little bit, doing a preview. Daniel Black, sports reporter at the Burnley Express, will be joining us for that one. But as always, it is tradition. Adrian has called us. Adrian's corner. Adrian, you want to talk about last night and the midfield debate that we were having?
Yeah, I just think that it could be tweaked a bit. We need to give the back four confidence and just stiffen the midfield up. It might mean that Lucas has to sit on the bench. But I'd like to see Dier brought in, because prior to last night's game, out of the six goals we conceded, three were from set pieces anyway, and we need height at the back, so he gives you that. But then I'd bring in Foyt as well along on the right side of midfield, and then you could play Ndombele, you know, or Sissoko, or Winks. Give him a bit of license to move forward without being frightened about leaving holes at the back. And Dier would also be a safeguard when Aurier's going forward, because teams are going to target us behind him now. They're going to hit balls into the space behind Aurier or try to, and get a fast player to come down that side like Man United did with Rashford.
I really want a player like Eric Dier in the team. I just question his performance. I don't know what you've made of how Eric Dier's played under Mourinho so far.
Well, his best game was away at West Ham, really, wasn't it? The other games, he's still rusty.
Yeah.
But what do you do? I mean, like, is Wanyama fit? You know,
well, there
is
you
he
go.
Good enough?
For me, I said earlier, I think that it's about giving these players game time, and that's the only way it's going to come back. I think with Dele Alli, we saw it took him a while after he came back from injury to kind of get going. With Eric Dier, we know he's a player that Jose Mourinho's tried to sign in the past, so I think you're right. I think that Dier does need to be a guy that's now the stonewall guy in that midfield.
The thing is, every Premier League side plays at least three players in the middle.
Yeah.
You're always outnumbered unless you're really on your game on the front foot.
And to be fair, I think we've got the front three of, if you've got Dele Alli, Heung-min Son and Harry Kane, that's more than enough in attack, I feel, at the moment. And
I
think you're right.
We need to stiffen it up. Because
Then
the back four start getting a bit more confidence in themselves. You know, we will concede less, because even when we've won games, we've conceded goals, you know. So something has to be done. And I really think Foyth could do a sort of midfield, right-hand side midfield role, you know. And plus, he's so good on the ball. He's so technically good. A bit rash at times, you know.
Do you think he could do a better job than Lo Celso would?
No, but he'd do a better job than Sissoko, because he's just technically better. Sissoko's clumsy, isn't he? He's better off. He'd be better off like in front of Dier and Foyt, you know, doing what he does going forward, you know. But he's not. He's no defender, Sissoko.
Hold on, Adrian. I'm just a bit lost here. You're playing Foyt on the right side of midfield in front of Aurier?
No.
Or instead of Aurier?
Playing him. So you'd have Dier, say Ndombele, Winks or Sissoko, and then you'd have Foyt. But you've still got Aurier at right.
You've still got Aurier at right.
Foyt would cover the space when Aurier goes
right. Right, I'm with
forward.
You. Sorry.
Because this is what happened yesterday with Sissoko getting caught out for the penalty. And Man United kept coming down that side.
Yep. I'd sooner see Foyth play at right back, so he's not constantly caught and leaving that hole in the first place. But I still have worries about Foyth
at
right
back. I think he likes Aurier's crossing ability, or he sees something in him I don't.
This is one thing. I really think that Wan Foyt could make a really good or a decent right back. Certainly better than Serge Aurier. Look, he's a guy that plays regularly for the Argentine national team. I think he played well against, what was it, when we went to Red Star, he played well away at Red Star. So, I don't know, that's something, an option that I'd like Mourinho to maybe consider, Wan Foyt at right back.
Or you stop Aurier going forward like that, you know, or you just play Foyt at right back and drop Aurier.
Hey, does it worry you that Sessegnon can't get a look in at the moment? Because even Mourinho's recent comments seems to suggest that he's quite far away from being in his thoughts.
I think he's worth a gamble at left back.
Oh, yeah.
Or
I agree.
Or try five at the back.
Yeah, I agree.
Put Sessegnon at the wing back, then have your three centre-backs and let Foyt go bombing on. But then again, it's a question of, like, again in midfield, they've got to bomb on and push pressure on, because you're leaving two in midfield unless you're going to play, like, you know, 3-5-2.
Adrian, Jake said that potentially the rebuild is seven or eight more players that Spurs need.
No, it's not. I mean, if this fails with Mourinho up to January, I can see him in, and there is no chance of top four. Then he's got every excuse to play youngsters. But he won't. He's not a great gambler, so he won't play the youngsters. But Jafik Tentanga will probably come into play if, you know, after a Christmas appearance, we haven't gained sufficient points to keep us in the hunt.
Yeah, Adrian.
And don't forget, we've been unlucky with Ben Davis being injured.
Yeah,
because he obviously started him in that West Ham game and he had to go back to Rose. Adrian, really appreciate you calling as always.
Cheers,
a tradition on the show. Adrian's corner there. Really interesting at that midfield battle. Jace, he said that Spurs don't need seven or eight players there.
I think in time, though, before next season they will, because, you know, if Rose goes, you do need to buy a second left back.
Well, not just that. You've got Wanyama coming out of contract, Rose out of contract, Aldevira, Vertonghen.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, if Toby and Yan leave and your centre-halves next season are Foyth and Sanchez, and one of them gets injured or suspended, who's going at centre-half? So you've got to bring players in.
I don't know, but Scunthorpe away will be fun.
Well, I think also he said with the left-back issue, he's also said, hasn't he, with Sessegnon, he doesn't feel as though he's ready to play as a left-back. So, that's another... I think, obviously, lots of people have suggested that he could play there, but now that's kind of an option off the table. So, really, only leaves us with Danny Rose and Jan Vertonghen. Yeah. Two players who could potentially leave next summer.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Talking of the midfield and the rebuild, and we're looking towards Burnley on the weekend. Obviously, Poch was known for changing the side up. There was a stat, I think it was a different first 11.
96 games, yeah, 94. Games. Yeah.
Incredible. Do we think that Jose obviously wants to be the one to have this settled side now? And at the minute, obviously, he just can't do that. But he would look to be someone that will do that, Rick.
Well, I think we've seen it over the past four games. He hasn't made too many changes. Really?
Well, false changes, obviously. Yeah, you mentioned the Ben Davies,
injury. Yeah. I think he's tried to keep as what he can as a settled side. But, I mean, as we keep saying on numerous times, on numerous shows, you can't legislate for individual mistakes being made by these players. And he can only work with what he's got until January. So, yeah, I mean, he'll have to pick the similar kind of team against Burnley and hope they can do the job.
It's interesting. We talk about, you know, where we have to move on from these players. The players aren't good enough and he can't account for individual mistakes. But this is still a squad and a side that did get to a European Cup final. How can it now be someone that we really need to move on from? I don't know. It's just, it does turn around, but that feels like quite a golf when you say it like that.
Yeah, there's no doubt we've got quality, decent quality in the squad. There's quality players there. Yeah. But for all the quality we've got, we've also got a huge amount of players that make individual errors on, you know, as we say, a weekly basis. And you can't get away from that. I mean, it's glaring every game, isn't it? I mean, the games we've won under him so far, in those games we've conceded, they've all been majority down to individual errors. Can't defend set pieces, which again is maybe tactical. It's something we've got to look at, maybe zonal marking or changing that up. But I think there comes a point where you have to say the group we've got, they just simply aren't good enough. I think Jason made a great point earlier that this group, unfortunately, they've lost too many times.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a trait that you can carry on with. And especially under this particular head coach that demands winning, who is built on, you know, building teams to win trophies, multiple trophies, to get over the line in competitions. He won't stand for it.
I think the Champions League final as well has given one or two of those players false impressions of themselves. I mean, Dele says last night about us going there with arrogance.
Yes,
yeah. You think we've just beaten West Ham and Bournemouth and suddenly we're going somewhere with arrogance. And that's within just, three games of Mourinho. There's part
and
of the
only 3-2. It's not like we've beaten them 5 or 6-0 either.
It's like we'll play Sheffield United at home and think, yeah, but we won the Champions League final with Sheffield United. That's part of the problem, and that's why I'd get rid of so many, because that's in their heads now.
You mentioned that the players, it's in their heads, you know, they've lost too many times, it becomes a scar, you know, that won't heal, and they can't get over that. It's in their psyche, you know, they don't have that mentality. But now they have a winner's mentality for a coach. Can Jose not change them? Never. You're all unanimous.
I think it's better. I think it's better that we go for a fresh start anyway, and just bring in some new players. That, because I think a lot of them arrived at the club when we were still playing at White Hart Lane in a 36,000 capacity stadium, a side that never got into the top four. Now we're a side that's got one of the best stadiums in the world, one of the best training facilities in the world, and obviously consistently in the Champions League finalists, obviously title challenges. It's now a really attractive club and a club that players coming in will be able to believe in this club. And I think too many of them kind of still see us as that club that was playing at 36,000-seater stadium.
But quickly, Ricky, isn't that a different question? I think Spurs need new players to add to it. But the question is, I was saying, you can change a player's mentality, can't you?
To some degree.
You can't ever say, they're all wait, that's it then, they're losing.
But to some degree, but I think you look at the teams that were taken over and achieved success. Klopp changed his squad. Guardiola changed his squad.
I would say that Liverpool didn't have as much as Spurs do now.
No, that's true. But I even go back to the very, very start when Mourinho took over Chelsea. How many did that team did he end up buying different players for? You know, Liverpool, how much did they evolve? You know, Man City,
wasn't believed that they could win the league before when it was going great under Mourinho. Tottenham were challenging and they did believe that. Chelsea couldn't. So how can we now say these players don't have that?
But Tottenham, even though, okay, we got to a Champions League final, Tottenham Hotspur squad to a point in a title challenge that we saw last season, up until the Burnley game, we've seen with Spurs season after season that mentality wise, we just could not get over the final line, whether it was FA Cup semi-finals, League Cup finals, Champions League final, wherever you look at Tottenham generally over the last two or three years.
But they didn't have
Mourinho.
There's
a mental block.
But I think a lot of them also, I think it comes down to age as well. I think if you're not at like that at what, 27, 28, I don't think you'll be able to coach that into a player. I think it's maybe too late. And that's why bringing in young players like Lo Celso, like Ndombele, like Sessegnon, you can coach them that into
spot
them.
On.
Yeah, it's a really interesting debate where they do have Jose now, the serial winner. What will Spurs go on to do? We still want to hear from you tonight, 0208 7020 558. But it is Burnley on the weekend. Hopefully Spurs and Jose will get back to winning ways. We're going to preview the game next. Love Sport. You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs. Ricky Sacks, Jamie Brand and Jason McGovern talking everything where Spurs are concerned. We wanted you to join in tonight and you have. This time, Will calling us from the States again. Will, always a pleasure to have you on the show, taking the time out from the States to call us. I know you want to talk a little bit about Harry Kane and Spurs' recruitment.
Yeah, hey guys. Great show as always. One thing I'm noting is how quickly the glow seems to have come off after one loss. And this show sounds a lot like the pre-patch firing shows. So that's kind of depressing.
We're trying to keep it upbeat as we can. We're trying to keep it as upbeat as possible.
And I'm in the same place, you know. This is all water under the bridge, but one thing that just frustrates me is that I was listening today about, you know, the resurgent Leicester, right? And they only have two players on the team, apparently, who were on that team that won the championship, Jamie Vardy and Kasper Schmeichel. Otherwise, the whole roster's been turned over. And, you know, you compare that to our team that was chasing them, and boy, it's 90%, right? 80% the same roster. So, and what's really frustrating is that, you know, rather than one of the biggest players in Europe, you know, players who were excellent in the championship, who were good fits, who could have been good fits for Spurs, you know, guys that we were, you know, we were linked with Madison, right? We're linked with Chilwell. We're linked with Tielemans, right? And, you know, not big buys, you know. And all three of those guys now has, you know, they've transformed that club. And they so easily could have been in our club for, you know, nowhere near, you know, crazy money. So, you know, all that is, it's just really, really frustrating. But here we are, right? We are where we are. You know, I'm with Jason. You know, we've got to turn the roster over. You know, I'm as big a Lamela fan as you're going to find, but he's a waste of roster space. You know, he plays five games and he's gone for 4 months. He can't have it. You know, Wanyama, a waste of roster space. You know, and now, you know, Danny Rose is a waste of roster space, and on. So I, you know, it was really kind of shocking and disappointing that Mourinho said that Fernandez is the kind of player, you know, out of Portugal that is too, you know, that we can't afford. So, there's a little rant. So, who can we afford? And what's next?
Well, one thing I'd say on not being able to afford Fernandes, I think that maybe one thing he might be talking about is spending that sort of money in an area that maybe Spurs are really quite strong in. I think if you look at maybe options that we do have there, you've got Lo Celso, you've got Dele Alli, you've even got someone like Ndombele. So there's plenty of options there to play in that sort of, you know, number 10 role. I think maybe if we were, if I hope that's what he's talking about, and maybe if we were to spend that sort of money, it would be on in positions that we need. So that's what I hope that he's talking about.
I hope so. And have you guys? And I only picked you up in the second hour. Has there been any talk of kind of what's up with Harry? Boy, yeah. If you watched that game yesterday, and you were told that the best, you know, striker, supposed best striker in the world was playing yesterday, and you weren't told in advance who it was, well, you would have thought for sure it was Rashford. I mean, you know, Harry, and the last couple games, his touch seems to have left him. He seems to be slow moving the ball. Gosh, and it's shocking to me, as I continue my rant.
George Honeywell, you called up and said, oh, at the moment, it's really depressing, like pre-pot shows. I thought you were going to be cheering us up. What's happening here? I thought it was going to be an invigorating call. I was waiting to be lifted.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, Will, you mentioned about Harry Kane. We did talk about him in the first hour. What have you picked up on in those games? Because a lot of people saying, obviously, look, world-class striker. I mean, that's never in debate. But him as a captain, his captaincy, maybe he's not best suited to that armband.
Well, I never thought he was kind of a right captain for us. And, you know, it's too bad Dyer's in such bad form, because he's really the guy, right? He's the guy that you see, you know, kind of, you know, pointing at people, you know, screaming, kind of taking charge in center there. And, you know, before he had that, you know, that terrible year last year and all the injuries, you know, when he was consistently being called up on England, he was being talked of as the England captain. I don't think, it's just not Harry's personality, right? He leads by example, but he's not, you know, he's not sort of that, I don't know, Roy Keane type, right? That's going to, you know, get barking and get the team moving. And I don't know, other than Dyer, who might be.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, obviously, with Hugo out. You know, that captaincy is up for debate. Will, we really appreciate you calling, especially from the States. You know, really appreciate that effort, getting in on the last word on Spurs.
Just on that, though, in fairness, who is a captain in the Premier League in that the old John Terry, Roy Keane, Tony Adams type style? Mm. You know, it doesn't
Modern
seem to be,
captain,
does it? I mean,
yeah.
You look at Manchester City, their main captain is David Silva. Mm-hmm. He's not like that.
No.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It just seems to be, you know, it seems you don't have that character anymore.
Those Burnley players, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to be like at the weekend, because I think those guys, they've not been on a great run recently under Sean Dyche. They're under a lot of pressure. So that's a game you expect Tom to go there and get the 3 points. Let's be honest, back at home, after we've obviously got the result against Bournemouth, we've won Olympiacos there. We need to make the home ground now, especially the Fortress. I think that's been one of the issues that, especially now, that new stadium, having 60,000 fans in there, 55,000, we have to start making that place a fortress. What our lane was at the
season. Yeah, Jose Mourinho, after, I think it was Olympiacos, he said he was shocked at how kind of shy and timid we looked.
He said they were scared at almost playing at home, weren't
they? Yeah, so that it shows you that there is a lack of confidence playing at home, and that's something that hopefully he can address as well.
A fear playing in their own ground. Well, I feel a bit down after talking to him. I thought he was going to cheer us up. I mean, more worrying, it sounded like he was driving. Let's quickly talk about the Burnley game though now.
I hope you parked up to make that call.
Let's talk about Burnley, obviously, on the weekend. Burnley, no, never an easy game. You know, we know what you get with a Sean Dyche side. Well-drilled, well-disciplined, you know, very, very dangerous from set pieces. We're not sure of the lineup as well. Ricky, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I'm just reading some of the stats here. They have doubled the points they did at this stage last season, despite putting one of their poorest performances against Man City during the week. It's never easy. I think we saw that, you know, cut seasons ago at Wembley, we struggled. I think they scored against us in the last minute. Never an easy place to go, or certainly to play them at home, because you just don't know what kind of team they're going to set up. Are they going to sit in and ask us to break them down? The concern that I think with Tottenham at the moment is that we're not good enough to defend, which means we've got to try and outscore the opposition. Yeah. Now, I think we've got to have, you know, the likes of Dele Alli, Harry Kane, Heung-min Son, Lucas Moura on top form. I just wonder what we'll do in terms of that midfield. I think everyone will be looking at the midfield pairing and what he's going to do. I think Dyer, he might end up recalling him for this one, potentially.
Yeah, I think one thing is it'll be interesting to see how we deal with teams that do come in and park the bus. I think with Bournemouth and Olympiacos, we kind of haven't really had to deal with that. I think under Pochettino earlier in the season when we played Newcastle, we really struggled to break them down. So I think it'll be interesting if we do have a Burnley side come to the Lane on the weekend, see if whether how we can break them down if they do sit deep. But I think it's of course going to be a difficult game. I think last year, what was it? We lost 2-1 to them away.
Yeah.
And then we beat them 1-0 at Wembley. I think it's going to be a very difficult
game. More of a question for Jace this one. Jace, does it worry you the fact Davinson Sanchez is up against Barnes and Woods? Does that worry you? That
Barnes is out, I think.
I think Barnes is out maybe, but that aerial battle, Sanchez has really got to be on his game, hasn't he?
He has, but then at corners, Toby's got to be on his... I mean, we've got to be on our metal all over the pitch, haven't we? But, I mean, you know, you say maybe Dyer will come in, but if Burnley park a bus... Do you really want Eric Dyer?
Well,
I'm only
looking at what he's probably going to do. Not that I would want. I maybe wouldn't want him to be there, Dyer, if it's my preference, but I'm trying to think what Mourinho will likely do. Dyer's started the majority of the games he's had so far under him, and he'll probably bring him in.
I mean, the interesting thing will be Burnley's approach to it, because, you know, as much as Dyche wants to play that football, you'd look at Tottenham and say, the best way to ever go at Tottenham is to attack Tottenham.
Mm, yeah.
Mm. Get at Tottenham, really force that back four into mistakes, because there's plenty in there. So go at Tottenham. I mean, Burnley should come and do what Southampton did at the Emirates the other day, where you'd expect Southampton to go there and park there, you know, get everyone behind the ball. They went at Arsenal, didn't they, the whole game and ripped Arsenal to pieces, should have won the game. Burnley should actually take heart from that and come to Tottenham and play that way.
Well, it's an interesting one.
Sheffield United played that way against us, didn't they?
Yeah.
Came at us.
Yeah. Spurs are conceding goals at the minute. Will they play that way? Someone who will know a little bit more than us. It is Daniel Black, sports reporter for the Burnley Express. He's going to join us next.
Love Sport.
That's right. It is time for the opposition view on Love Sport. You are listening to the Spurs fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs. Ricky Sacks, Jamie Brand and Jason McGovern. Burnley on the weekend. We know Burnley are a tough side. I'm joined now by Daniel Black, sports reporter at the Burnley Express. Daniel, thank you for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. Burnley, in different seasons so far, what have you made of it?
Yeah, it's been quite a funny one, really. It's slightly inconsistent, but I think that's just down to the way the Premier League's falling this year. It's just so unpredictable, and teams are beating each other, and sides are picking up 3 points when you don't expect them to pick up 3 points. And it's been that kind of roller coaster for Burnley, really. They seem to pick up a win here and there, and then they'll go on a stretch of defeats. So it's hard to predict what you're going to get from them at the minute.
I think one thing Sean Dyche said in his press conference today was that Ashley Barnes was a doubt for the game. I mean, what kind of an impact will not having him have?
Yeah, I think we saw the impact his absence had against City. I mean, as good as City were, and it was probably one of their best performances of the season, he had to go 4-5-1, and that kind of let them off the hook a little bit, because with how vulnerable they've been at the back... having the physicality of Wood and Barnes at the top would have caused them a few problems. And instead you find yourself with Wood as the lone striker and Hendrick as in playing in the number 10 role, and it just doesn't have the same effect at all. And Barnes and Wood have played together for so long. You know, they started out at Brighton, they've come through at Burnley, and the goal scoring record is phenomenal. You know, it speaks for itself. So when they are separators, you do see that Burnley do struggle. They don't have that same threat, if you will, and it does aid the opposition when they're not together.
Dan, with Burnley's, well, I say Burnley's defensive record, you look at Tottenham's defensive record as well. How do you think Burnley will approach the game? Do you think they'll come and try and attack Tottenham?
I think it all depends on who they've got fit. Dyche said today that Barnes was one. Charlie Taylor, who's a roaming fullback, he's another doubt. Ashley Westwood, who provides the press from midfield, he's also a doubt as well. So it all depends what personnel he's got available to him. But I'd be surprised if he opted to go 4-5-1 again. I think he will revert back to the 4-4-2 and kind of go at them, because you know they have been uncharacteristically permeable for a Jose Mourinho side. So I think they have got to get at them. Because if you let Spurs come at you, there's only going to be one outcome.
Dan, Burnley were on a run of 3-0 results, absolutely fine, looking brilliant. And in the last two games, lost to Palace at home, and then obviously City come to town. But they've just sort of in a mini slump, as it were. What's gone wrong?
Yeah, they'd lost the three beforehand as well. They were hard done to at Leicester. Bit of a dodgy VAR decision. They were better against both Chelsea and Sheffield United. You know, they were way off par then. And then they pick up the two wins, and you think they're back on track. And then Palace come. You create chances, and it was just one of them days where it just didn't fall for them. And Palace probably had two shots on goal and scored them both. So it was, it's nothing to worry about at the minute. But if they do get beat on Saturday, it's three defeats on the bounce again, and then you're starting to feel the pressure a bit again.
Dan, obviously, Jamie mentioned no Barnes on the weekend, but Jason earlier mentioned on the show that the best way for Burnley to win this game would be attacking Spurs, coming at them. That's what other teams have done, not to sit back. Not saying that Sean Dyche's side do sit back, but what will their tactics be in this game, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think they have got to revert back to the 4-4-2, that has served them so well in the Premier League. It gives them that strength. It's, two strong banks of four. With a physical two up top, he might choose to bring Jay Rodriguez in this weekend and partner him with Chris Wood. And then the key to unlocking the Spurs defence is Dwight McNeil. He's just turned 20 and he's been an absolute revelation. He's been absolutely superb and probably one of the most exciting young English talents on the scene at the minute. He's been invited to train with the England senior team. He's made his under 21 debut, so he's really going in the right direction. He's a really, really exciting player. So they have got to get Dwight McNeil on the ball, and I think maybe bring Robbie Brady back into the side as well, and hope he fires.
Do you think we might see Aaron Lennon feature on the weekend? Is that a possibility?
It is a possibility. Yeah, it disappointed to be honest midweek. He was getting into some really promising crossing positions, and then every time he was getting stood up by Angelino, and he didn't really have an answer to it. He kind of panicked and probed, but never delivered, and it was a frustrating one for him really. So it's one of them. He might look at freshening things up a little bit, Darch.
Well, both teams are looking to bounce back, Daniel. What is your score prediction?
It's a tough one at the minute. Like I say, Spurs are conceding goals. They've scored two in every game under Mourinho, but they are also scoring goals as well. So it could be a high-scoring one. Maybe 3-1 Spurs I'll go for.
Ooh, 3-1 Spurs. Oh. I know they will take that. Daniel, thank you for joining us tonight and giving us some of your time. Daniel Black there, sports reporter at the Burnley Express. He was going for a Spurs win 3-1. Jace, do you agree with him there? No.
No idea, mate. I don't know what type of side we're going to get. So probably as a prediction, I'd go 2-0 Spurs. But then I think, how the hell are we going to keep a clean sheet?
Mm. Yeah, it is at home, though. And obviously, you mentioned it, wanted to change that stadium into a fortress. They're a little bit scared there. And we're obviously looking for a reaction. I think we'll get one.
Yeah, I think so. And overall, I think we have been fairly decent at home, so I'm not too concerned. I think that Burnley are a side that we can beat. So, I think Spurs are definitely favourites for this one.
They are favourites for this one. Is it a worry that obviously we can say, oh, Spurs have conceded two goals under Mourinho, but we have to remember that it was very late against Bournemouth and it was very late against West Ham. Sort of the scores, I don't want to say the games are won then, but the scoreline maybe flattered Bournemouth and West Ham ever so slightly.
Yeah, I think you also got to look at the fact we've scored a lot of goals.
Bournemouth had 20-odd shots at goal. So, okay, they got the two goals late, but you can't be conceding 20-odd shots at home.
We are still scoring a lot of goals, though, Jace. I agree with you on that. We're still scoring a lot of goals, though. Every time we look going forward, we're not going to score.
Gazzaniga made two or three saves at 0-0 against Bournemouth.
We're not discounting that, but I think also going forward, we've got a problem in terms of attacking-wise, and I think we've got more than enough quality on the pitch to see off Burnley, and I am confident we're going to see a response. I think we will. Yeah, we will. I'm going to go for 3-1 Tottenham.
All right, you only got that from Daniel.
I was going to say 3-1 myself. I'm going 3-1.
3-1, he's going for it. Jamie, we didn't get your prediction, but you were still making the point about being at home. Sorry.
No, I think it will be a Spurs win. I think it will be tighter than 3-1. I'm going for 2-1 Spurs. I think we'll win.
And we're looking at these next run of fixtures then. You know, it is Burnley at home. And who else have you got there? I'm just trying to... You know, it's a decent run of fixtures. Well, yeah, but, you know, you've qualified now, haven't you? So the next game becomes... Yeah.
Play the kids.
Well, you should, though, shouldn't you? Because you can't get that first seed, Jace. No?
No.
No, so, you can't. No, we can't catch Bayern. So I think that will be a game where both sides, obviously, we've qualified as well. As John said, it's last week, I think it'd be a good chance for maybe some of the young players to feature. Although, saying that, I think that we won't see Troy Parrott because... I think, as John pointed out, Spurs are still capable of qualifying in the youth league, so I'm sure that he'll be involved in the youth game earlier in the day. But I think over Christmas we got it's fairly mixed. I think we got Wolves and Chelsea after under Burnley, so that's obviously very
Wolves
difficult.
Away as well. Molineux, a really tough place to
exactly.
go for any side.
So that's going to be a very difficult game.
They're all tough places. I think they are, Chaz. And every Premier League game is tough, whether at home or away. I don't care how you dress them up, they're all going to be tough games, but I'm still more confident now with Mourinho in charge than I was previously, and I've done it against Maurizio Pochettino, but I still think we will get results. We will. Man United is the blip. We are now going to go on a run. Yeah, I've said it here first.
Clip it.
Well, why not? We've just gone through on the bounce beforehand. Yes, it's a reality check, but I think we've said it on this show before that maybe he needs to know what it's like to lose here to try and take this Spurs squad forward. I do genuinely believe that because all the flaws we've seen... It's what he already knows to some degree.
Also, no one wants to lose. But if we are in a rebuild, he needs to lose to know who's going to stay around long term and who's just not going to cut the mustard, Jamie.
I think this could be a good chance for him to maybe show how he responds to this. Because I think a lot of people are saying, wait till he gets into a bad patch and then see if he changes his attitude. Obviously, he's been, he's been a great character to have at the moment. But I think we saw as United, he got, quickly became very moody when results weren't going his way. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see kind of how he now responds to this. And I think that if he does respond well, I think it will certainly silence a few critics.
It will silence a few critics. Obviously, Jace, you would go along with that?
I just think, just get to August the 5th or whatever it is next year, start next season.
Is that it? You're already looking towards next season?
Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
Because you even said that they're going for this cup run, why not? How can you look to next season already? We're in December, that's not even begun yet. And knockout stages in Champions League, you never know.
I think in terms of the Premier League, it's about getting a side ready to go for next season and bring a few changes in January. With that, I think you will get inconsistency until he can get his genuine side and make those replacements. So for me, you've got 6 months to build a side for next season for the Premier League.
Still enough to play for this season. We've got so much to play for. Champions League knockout stages, FA Cup still to come. I'm still not ruling us out of the top four. I'm really not. I still think teams will drop points. Chelsea are not there yet. Frank Lampard is still an inexperienced manager. That squad has still got a lot of inexperience in it, a lot of youth players in it. Mourinho is a been there, done it manager. Not give up yet.
Like Kevin Keegan.
No, and as Lee McQueen says, everyone needs to have a dream.
Exactly.
If you don't have a dream, see, you've got one, haven't you, Nary?
I still think we've got a really good chance of making that top four.
You shouldn't write us off just yet. No better way to end the last word on Spurs. That was the last word on Spurs. A passionate Ricky Sack speech then. I absolutely loved it. You can see us because we're not looking to the 5th of August. We're looking to next Thursday when the boys are back in the studio, as they are every Thursday, right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.